the last shiur till Elul. It won't be a shiur next week till the first week in Elul. That's not sure. Okay. I'm going to go through the halachas of the 9 days and Shabbos Chazon and at least Erev Tisha B'Av. It gets more than that. Okay, starting on Sunday night, which is Rosh Chodesh Av, the following new halachas begin. Okay, they begin already at Shkia on Sunday. Firstly, not allowed to eat meat and drink wine, and that includes grape juice, it includes chicken, anything made with meat or gravy, but it does not include things cooked in a fleshika pot but without any fleshiks. Somebody who needs to eat meat for health reasons should ask a shayla. Children who need to eat meat for health reasons. So the truth is that what's it called? A child less than 3 years old, you can give meat. No shayla. From 3 to 7, the Mishnah Berurah says also you're not allowed to feed meat unless it's medically, health-wise necessary. And from 8 on, there's for sure an Indian of chinuch, and children should not be served meat or chicken. If there's a reason medically why a person needs to eat meat, they should ask a shayla. Usually we'll tell them they should eat chicken rather than regular meat. That really depends on the situation, whether it's warranted, not warranted. There's other ways of getting the same nutrients without having to eat meat or chicken. Okay, there are occasions where eating meat and drinking wine are mutter, a bris, a pidyon haben, a siyum, a bar mitzvah, and each one has its halachas of how many people can eat meat and who exactly is allowed to eat meat or drink wine. And there's differences between till Shavua Shechal Bo Tisha B'Av and after. It's not good to go through the halachas. If they apply to somebody, then they can ask a shayla. Okay. Shabbos, there's no prohibition of eating meat or drinking wine. You can eat meat, drink and wine. Even if you don't normally, you're allowed to eat meat and drink wine on Shabbos Chazon. Even for Shalosh Shudis, you're what's it called. And even if you make an early Shabbos or keep Shabbos later, you can eat meat and drink wine in the extra additions to Shabbos also. Havdalah, on the other hand, is already after Shabbos. So, and there is a shita that holds that any food that you ate for Shabbos and had leftovers, you could eat during the week, but we don't pass it like that. The only reason I mentioned is in case somebody sees that there's such a thing, they think it's okay, you should know it's not lahalacha. So the leftovers from Shabbos, save till after Tisha B'Av. Havdalah, L'chatchila, you should try to get a katan who's old enough to understand the idea of Shabbos, but not yet old enough to understand Avelis for the Beis HaMikdash. That could be a child who's about 35 also. But usually the cutoff age is about 6 or 7. 6 or 7 year old already understands Muktzah and Shabbos and can't do that, but they don't have a hasaga of mourning or whatever.
Boy or a girl?
A boy or a girl. Yeah, the chorus should be okay, a boy or a girl. And what? I guarantee she won't grow a beard. If that's what you're worried about. Okay. If you don't have a child that age, you don't have to hire one or go look around for one. If you don't have a child readily available, you can drink the wine yourself. What?
Use beer or something?
No, it's use what you usually regularly use and not use something else. You can use wine and drink it. If you have a child, it's a hinder to use a child. If you don't have a child readily available like that, then you can drink the wine yourself.
Does Esti fit into that category?
Does Esti fit into that category?
Doesn't understand
Avelis. Yeah, Lachorah should fit into that category, I think. I have never yet discussed with her the Avelus of Tisha B'Av, so I'm not sure. But if you know that she doesn't really have a hasaga of what that means, right? I'm not sure. I don't know. But if that's the case, yeah, then she fits into that category. Malava Malka, you can't have a fleshik of Malava Malka. Malava Malka also usher to eat meat and drink wine. Okay. Okay, so that's the first thing. Any questions on meat and wine? Okay, next. You can't buy new things. Now, what that applies to is clothing, any new clothing, okay? Even if you don't plan to wear it. Until after Tisha B'Av, you can't buy it during the 9 days. That's any clothing, not only expensive clothing. Till now, till Sunday night, you can buy anything you don't make a shechiyona on. But from Sunday night on, you can't buy any clothing. Now, if you'll have a great loss if you don't buy that clothing then. It's available on a tremendous sale, and that sale won't be available after the 9 days. Or you're going to be traveling somewhere and be able to buy something which you won't be able to buy here. Right? And it's a tremendous difference. Then there are heterim to buy the clothing, obviously, and to put it till after the 9 days. You're allowed to buy baby clothing during this time. Other things besides, so that's clothing. Clothing is what this issur applies to across the board. Other things are mutter to buy unless it's something specific of simcha. Right? A what's it called, you know, new silver candlesticks, which is special simcha. Or new things for silver for a chasen or something like that. That already you should not buy those kind of things. But otherwise, household things, housewares, as long as you don't have to make a shechiyonu on them, right? Because shechiyonu you can't make anyway, even during the 3 weeks, let alone during the 9 days. If they don't have to make a shechiyonu, then you can be somech on the sheet as a whole that stam buying things, except for clothing, is mutter. You're allowed to order things as long as you don't actually purchase them. So if you want to order clothing online or whatever, that's also okay. Just actually purchasing it and taking ownership of it, okay, that's what's a problem.
Okay. What about selling things? What about being on the other end?
Selling things to who? If you're selling it to Goyim, it's fine. If you're selling it to Jews, so you're causing them to do something that's also. Except, since by Sfardim, up until Motzei Shabbos of Shabbos Chazon, which means this whole coming week, most of them hold that these halachas don't apply yet. They only apply to Shavuot Shechal Bal Tisha B'Av. You'd be allowed to sell a Sfardi things that he holds are mutter for him to buy. Even though you hold that they're also for you, but it's dependent on Ninig, it's mutter for him, you're allowed to sell it to him. Okay, making new clothing. Okay, so making any new clothing, even if you don't plan to finish it, you can't work for on your own. You're knitting a sweater, right? You're making a blouse, whatever. You can't work on that during the 9 days, even if you don't plan on finishing it. Weaving is aser, no matter what. It's special halach in weaving. Because of Evan Shasiya, and the weaving has a connection to Shasi and Orev, which is the whoop and the wharf, something like that. The crosswise and lengthwise things. But that doesn't apply to needle points and embroidery. And if there's something important, you shouldn't work on a needle point or embroidery during 9 days. If it's something not so important, like in camps, they do it, you know, as arts and crafts, that's okay to do.
Mending clothes for
what? If you are just mending clothing, is okay. And if you are a seamstress for Parnassa, then you can work on people's clothing. You should get it before Rosh Chodesh. You can work on it during the 9 days up till Shavuot Shechal Bal Tisha B'Av. I have the Shaila here. I think Barbara Selsky is a seamstress in the past. She asked me, she had to make clothing for somebody who was having a chasana. And So the halacha is, since she's doing it for someone else, not for herself, there's a special heter to be able to do it till Shavuot Shechabot Tisha B'Av.
Okay. But if it's somebody not making clothes, just lots of people give you things to
mend
up or
so what? Yeah, so mending is okay. Putting on buttons, sewing up tears. Right.
If you're painting houses as a parnasa.
You paint houses for parnasa. So Shaila, whether painting houses is also altogether. Okay, it's better not to do something that's just decorative. Okay, you can build, except for Tisha B'Av itself, things that are not shel simcha. Right, somebody is moving into an apartment, they need to put up the windows. That's not something of extra simcha. That's utilitarian. You need windows. But painting, yeah, I understand. But painting, who's he painting for? A goy? No, for a Jew. The Jews, the Chora, are not allowed to have his house painted during the 9 days. So, again, if he's doing it for somebody who's Rav Paskin for him, he can do it, which I could see that is possible, right? Then he can do it. The issue is not the painting, the issue is having your house painted.
But if you're not living in the house, if you haven't moved in yet.
Why are you doing shiputzim?
Yeah, again, shiputzim, if they're utilitarian, are okay. Plastering, things like that. But decorative things, not. Putting up wallpaper, putting down carpet, those kind of things you shouldn't do during the 9 days, even if you're not living there. Okay. The next thing. Are there any questions on that, on making clothing? Yeah.
Not making clothing, buying clothing. If you buy something of second hand.
You buy something second hand, but it's new to you? L'chor, it's still awesome. It's not only new clothing, it's buying clothing that's new for you. Yeah, L'chor, it shouldn't be okay.
And if you're getting clothes, after something from somebody, you're not buying it, you're getting it.
Somebody's giving you new clothing.
Not new, whatever. You, you know.
For you, it's new.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. You have to, if it's no gale, I say, ask me. I'm not sure. I don't know. Okay, next, cleaning clothing. You're not allowed to wash clothing, even if you don't plan to wear it. Stop washing clothing during the 9 days is not something to do. And it includes all kinds of washing, whether you do it in a washing machine, you do it by hand, makes no difference. It does not include taking out stains. Taking out stains are okay, and ironing clothing, if it's L'Kavod Shabbos, it's for sure okay. So you can iron clothing L'Kavod Shabbos if you need to iron a tablecloth or something like that. It only applies to clothing. It does not apply to house cleaning. You're allowed to clean your house during the 9 days. L'Kavod Shabbos, you're allowed to polish your silver. Whatever, leichter or silverware, whatever. Shoes. To shine shoes by buffing them, that could be considered cleaning the shoes. That you shouldn't do. But putting on liquid wax on the shoes, that's not called cleaning, that's called dyeing them, that's called covering them over with a color. That's okay. Okay, now, for a mitzvah, okay, so we said also taking out a stain. Right, if you're not washing the whole garment, just want to take out a stain, and if you don't take out the stain now, it'll damage the beged, it'll be harder to take out later, or whatever, then you're allowed to take out stains. If you're cleaning clothes for a mitzvah, a woman has to clean clothes in order to wear for a shiva nikiyah. She doesn't have anything to wear, that's also mutter. You have guests that come to your house. You don't have to give them dirty linen that somebody else slept on. You will go see about it. You can, even if you don't have clean linen, you can even wash it. Okay. Okay, if you, all your clothing are dirty and you really have nothing to wear, then till Shavua Shechol Bo Tisha B'Av, you can wash what you need to get through the next few days with something. But otherwise, you can't wash clothing. Okay. Okay, any question on washing clothing?
dish towels.
Yeah, it includes dish towels, it includes tablecloths, it includes handkerchiefs, it includes wigs too. Can't wash a wig. It's also considered clothing. Okay, now, in addition, what?
Little kids who soil themselves in their clothes and other things frequently.
Little kids' clothing. Cholamoid, you're allowed to clean it. For the 9 days, if it's little children that mamish get the clothing dirty all the time, you can wash their clothing.
Like for example, if a kid is toilet training, they have a lot of accidents, so the things that are that really smell, that can they be washed?
Yeah.
Should be by hand when you do?
Doesn't make a difference. And just the opposite, probably it's better by machine, because part of the reason is you want to take your mind off the avelis, take your mind a lot less off the avelis by pushing a button on a machine than doing it by hand. Here it's not a malacha, it's usher because it's mesir das from the avelis. Okay, wearing freshly laundered clothing that you didn't wash during the 9 days. Here, you're not allowed to wash the clothing during the 9 days if you don't plan to wear it. If you're wearing it, even if you didn't wash it, but it's newly washed. Okay, now here, there's a very big difference between clothing that was newly washed in a washing machine with water and detergent, or clothing that was dry cleaned. Clothing was dry cleaned is much more serious. Okay, so therefore, in order not to wear freshly laundered clothing, you have to make sure that you try on all your clothes that are usher to wear freshly laundered before the 9 days start. That means Sunday afternoon sometime. Or you could do it now too, and put it away. You don't have to do it dafka then, but you have to do it before Sunday night. Now the proper way to do that is the following. If it's really, what's it called, freshly dry clean things, suit, a dress, fresh, then you really should wear it a considerable amount of time, a few hours. In other words, wear it once normally before the 9 days. Okay, so then don't wait till Erev Tisha B'Av to do it. Wear it once before, that's all. If it's not, hold on, if it's not dry clean, it's just shirts, blouses that you put in the washing machine, then you can be somech on putting it on even for a few seconds, just putting it on. You can also be somech, and here not everybody agrees with any of this. Some hold one way, a different way, but because there are other reasons why it may not apply altogether to these things, the way we wash clothing. Therefore, la halacha here, right? Again, I don't know what they pass in other places. Or here, you can be makel the most that you can, meaning you can put it on for a few minutes, a few seconds even, right? Better a few minutes, and you can put on multiple clothing one over the other. So if you want to try on 9 shirts, you can put on 9 shirts one over the other. Right? You get to look like Rabbi Scheinberg, maybe, what's it called? The 9 shirts one over the other, and you can put them on for a minute or two, and that's sufficient. Okay, that does not apply to dry clean. If you dry clean your shirts, it doesn't apply to that. Then you should really put it on and wear it once normal, and then the second time you wear it can be during the 9 days.
Do you have to fasten the buttons?
What?
If you wear a 9 shirt, you have to fasten all the buttons for each shirt.
No, you don't have to. Just close one button so it's all around you.
Can somebody throw it on the floor?
Better to wear it. If you didn't wear it, we'll get to that. Okay. We'll call the questions until we finish this. Okay. The same halacha applies to children. Children can't wear newly, what's it called, launder clothing from the age of chinuch, which is about 7-8 years old up. Less than that, you don't have to make them. It doesn't apply to underwear or socks, pajamas. Some people hold it doesn't apply to shirts, but the mice we hold it does apply to shirts. So therefore, shirts, pants, skirts, dresses, towels, tablecloths, linen, all of that have to be used at least once before the 9 days. So linen should put on the bed the night before. In other words, you put it already on Motzei Shabbos, so you slept in that bed once. And the same thing goes with towels. Towels that you're going to use for the 9 days, you should open, wipe your face with them that's sufficient. Okay. What else? Okay, if you have newly laundered clothing that you didn't wear and it's already Shvur Shechal Bo Tisha B'Av, okay, that means clothing you're going to wear a week from Sunday and Monday, there you shouldn't rely on this. And it should be have worn mamish, one regular wearing before. And otherwise you shouldn't put it on. Okay, if you didn't do this for some reason, you forgot, you didn't have time, you forgot to try on something that you want to wear. So obviously you can either do one of two things. You can wear it for Shabbos, as long as it's something you normally would wear for Shabbos. You can't do this in a way that you wouldn't put it on Shabbos, put on nine shirts on Shabbos for the sake of wearing it after Shabbos, because it's Hachana. But if it's something that you would wear for Shabbos, then you can put it on for Shabbos and then wear it on Sunday. If it's not something that you can put on for Shabbos, or you want to do it before Shabbos, right? This week the Issur is from Monday till Friday before Shabbos. So then, b'di'evet, you shouldn't rely on this l'chatchila. Okay, in other words, l'chatchila, you should try the clothing on, like we explained. B'di'evet, if you didn't, and you have clothing that you want to wear, you can put it on the floor and sit on it. Or, another possibility, you can put it into a hamper with dirty clothing and leave it there for a half an hour. If you still want to wear it after that, you can wear it. Okay, any questions now on wearing freshly laundered clothing?
Yeah. Rosh Chodesh itself doesn't have...
No, Rosh Chodesh is part of the Yisr. Yeah.
Is there any Indian to wear your not as nice clothing or faded things or whatever you want to wear just to wear?
No, not during the 9 days. Maybe Tisha B'Av. Even Shabbos, you shouldn't wear your nicest Shabbos clothing. But during the week, there's an inyan not to wear Shabbos clothing, right? Or special, you know, clothing only wear.
Right,
but there's no inyan to wear dafka, what's it called, shlumpy clothing. There's an inyan not to wear extra special good clothing, but regular clothing you can wear. Okay, now washing yourself, not clothing. You are, now I'll tell you, every year we do this, I'm going to tell you what the halacha is, and then we will see what the leniencies are. Okay. Rav Shach commented that when somebody is sitting Shiva, he never got questions about kulas, could you wash like this, could you wash like that, I'm perspiring, whatever. People are mourning, they're mourning, they don't think about these things. My experience is not like that. People who are sitting Shiva ask these shaylos too. So he wanted to bring out a point that if you really felt your mourning, you wouldn't ask these shaylos. But today people are insensitive even mourning. And therefore they do ask the shaylos, and that's the madrega that people are on, all of us. So we have to deal with what the metzius is, not what we'd like to be. So there are definitely leniencies, and there's a place to be lenient if necessary, but first you should know what the halacha is, so you don't confuse the leniencies with the halacha and think that anybody who does the halacha is a fanatic, right? And if you're doing the leniencies, you're doing the halacha. You're not. You're being somech on kulas, and preferable to do what the halacha says. So therefore, you should know what the halacha is, and then I'll tell you what the kulas are. The halacha is that during the 9 days, okay, not talking now about Erev Shabbos, but during the 9 days, except for Erev Shabbos, you can only wash your hands, face, and feet in cold water. Cold meaning room temperature, or less. Not more than room temperature. Not at all heated up. Okay. You can heat the water to make it room temperature. You don't have to have ice cold water. But room temperature water, face, which means your whole face, your whole head, basically, not your hair, your hands, all the way up to your shoulder, and your feet, basically, either up to your knees or even possibly to your hips. The rest, what's not included is your body. Okay. that's hands, face, and feet in cold water. And that you can do without any special reason, without soap. Okay? If you're using the soap for pleasure, you know, pleasure soap. On the other hand, if you're dirty, you're allowed to wash off the dirt. Okay, if the only way you can wash off the dirt is by getting into a shower, you get into a shower. If the reason you're doing it is not to refresh yourself, but to get off dirt, and that's the only way to get off the dirt. Your entire body just fell into a mud hole, right? You can't just take a washcloth and start washing off the mud. You have to get under a shower and get all the mud off of you. That's 100% water. Also, some hold that if you're sweated up, especially in the way the weather is now, you really sweat it up, and you really want to get off the sweat, right? So you're not doing it for pleasure. You're doing it just to get the grimy sweat off of you. So then, lechatchila, if that's really your only intention, right, that's what you're doing, then take a wet towel and wipe off the sweat. And that serves the same purpose. If that you don't want to do because you want to be refreshed in a shower, then obviously you're not doing it just to get off the sweat. You're doing it to be refreshed. So, however, we'll see in one second. Children till 8, what's it called, are for sure mutter to bathe. And till bar mitzvah, we'll see, since there are a lot of leniencies for adults, you can be samach on all those leniencies for children, even lechatchila. So children who really want to bathe, most children don't want to bathe bechlal, but the children who want to bathe, there's a tarim to let them bathe. Okay, now, what are the coolers? So that is therefore swimming is osur, even for children. No reason why a child has to go swimming. Except for little children who are not bar chinuch yet, they can go swimming. But children that are bar chinuch already should not go swimming, even if they're taking showers or baths or whatever. Okay, that is basically the halacha. Hands, face, and feet in cold water, and that's it, and not your hair, and not without soap. People who are very finicky, who bathe every day, especially women, and really feel miserable if they can't bathe. So it's not a matter that they're bathing for pleasure, they're bathing because it's oppressive to them not to bathe. Then there are heterim to bathe your whole body in now the grades. The best thing to do if you're going to do that is to take a room temperature shower, nothing more than that, without soap, unless you need the soap to take off dirt, without washing your hair, surely not using shampoo, unless your hair itches and the only way to get it stopped is to use soap. That is during the week. There's no real reason why a person has to take a hot shower during the week. No matter how finicky you are, a room temperature shower should be enough. For Erev Shabbos Chazon, so halacha wise, you're allowed to wash your hands, face, and feet in warm water. That's it. No shower. People who go to the mikveh all the time Erev Shabbos and never miss can go to the mikveh Erev Shabbos Chazon. If you ever miss because sometimes you don't feel good, or you, what's it called, it's too much bother, or it's a short Friday, right, then you can't go to the mikveh Erev Shabbos Chazon. If you do go to the mikveh Erev Shabbos Chazon, because you never miss, you should make sure that it's not a hot mikveh. It's just a room temperature mikveh. Somebody who normally bathes every Erev Shabbos, okay, with hot water and with soap, can be somech, that's the first level of kula, that you can use hot water, hands, face, and feet with soap. If you normally shampoo your hair, wash your hair with soap at least, every Erev Shabbos, then there is a, what's it called, a heter to do that Erev Shabbos Chazon also. But still, we're not talking about bathing your whole body. Just your hands, face, and feet in warm water, soap if necessary, and your head without soap, or if it's necessary, with soap. That is the halacha. If, a person who always bathes his entire body in hot water and shampoos his hair every Erev Shabbos, their heterim to take a normal shower, which you normally would do every Erev Shabbos. And if that's the case, then you go to the mikveh too. Okay. Like we said, for children, you can be makel, you should take regular showers, since for adults also there's kulas, especially in hot weather. For children, you can be somech and be lechatchila, give a child up to bar bas mitzvah, let them bathe Erev Shabbos. Okay, any questions on bathing? Yeah.
If, let's just say, 1 week with an ear infection, they didn't go to the mikveh, you know, so does that still count as...
Where it was impossible, an onus, no, it doesn't count. Where it's mamish impossible, right? You're not allowed to go with an ear infection, that's what's it called. So,
That doesn't count, no.
But if sometimes you get lazy, or it's too cold, or it's not out of time, that's not called an onus. Right? Okay.
Let's say the water... On Erev Shabbos, I heard that to take a hot shower. So that's why there's a heter to take a hot shower. Should one rather, let's say, take a cold shower, or one should rather take a hot shower, Erev Shabbos?
Erev Shabbos is a mitzvah to wash your hands, face, and feet in hot water. So that you should do on Kavod Shabbos. When it's mutter, you're allowed to do it. The rest of your body, right? Again, the heterim even take a hot shower, Erev Shabbos. But if you don't need it, and you can get by with a room temperature shower, and wash your hands, face, and feet with hot water, that's okay. That's okay as a cooler.
The rabbi used to advocate using a washcloth.
Yeah.
Did you mention?
Yeah, that if you're only bathing during the week to get the sweat off, if that's really your intention, then why don't you have a wash? Sponge bath, where you just use a washcloth to take off the sponge. That's not good enough. That means because you want to have the refreshment of being in a shower. That's exactly what you're not allowed to do. But if you really feel finicky and you don't get in the shower, you really feel grimy and dirty, and you just can't function, then they're heterim for people like that. And today it says most people should be like that or are like that because we're used to bathing. They didn't bathe except from Erev Shabbos to Erev Shabbos. Even the halacha mentions somebody who always bathes Erev Shabbos, mashma, there are people who didn't bathe in their Erev Shabbos. I mean, in olden times, right, in the Middle Ages, the queens and kings bathed every 6 months. That's why they produce such fine perfumes in France. Right, because people didn't bathe for 6 months, they needed really good perfumes. In any case, that's so. But today, people are used to bathing once, twice a day. Sometimes, some people. So, if you're like that and it really is oppressive, you could be samech on these kulas. If you really feel mamish so finicky that you just can't function, but if not, then, you know, to go a week and feel uncomfortable. That's what these halachas are made for. They weren't made to feel comfortable. They're made to feel uncomfortable.
Okay. The question I always have before Shachri, that's near the idea you're supposed to have the mikveh or the tisha kavim.
It's a hither. It's the same mitzvah. If you do it all the time, without hot water, you could do it. Okay.
But using those baby wipes on babies, an adult could use them often,
be
okay?
Yeah, that's okay. Okay. Wearing big day Shabbos on Shabbos Chazon. So our minig is to wear Shabbos clothing. You shouldn't wear your best Shabbos clothing. You shouldn't wear new Shabbos clothing, but you can even wear freshly dry cleaned Shabbos clothing, Shabbos Chazon. there is a chumrah not to wear freshly dry clean things, but freshly laundered shirts or whatever, blouses, you're allowed to wear for sure, and you can start wearing them when the time you normally prepare for Shabbos. If you normally get dressed for Shabbos after Chatzos, that's fine. Anytime after Chatzos till after Shabbos. You don't have to change from that clothing immediately after Shabbos, but in normal time, you shouldn't leave it on almost a Shabbos, but you should change it in a normal time to rush home and, you know, and on the way start taking off your clothing. You can wait and take it off normally. There is a shita that you're not allowed to wear Shabbos clothing. If you can wear clothing that's not specifically Shabbos clothing, but nobody will see that it's not Shabbos. The thing is, there's also a kula in being machmir and not wearing Shabbos clothing, because avelus before hesya. If it's clear that you're wearing what you don't wear, you never wear on Shabbos, and it's obviously not Shabbosic. So if it's not obvious, then you should try to wear what normally you wouldn't wear on Shabbos, but it's Shabbosic. Okay, I think it was last year. Never knew I have Talmidim who are so observant, right? One of my Talmidim, the last year, Shabbos Chazon, so I decided that even though I changed my shoes for Shabbos, but who would know if I'm wearing my weekday shoes or Shabbos shoes? They look pretty much the same. They're the same kind of shoes. I mean, right? And the same thing goes for whatever, socks or whatever. So I wore what I would normally not wear Shabbos, but I don't think anybody can tell the difference. One of my Talmidim came over and says, is the Rav Bedavka not wearing his regular Shabbos shoes and Shabbos socks? I was like shocked that right, the person really, you know, he was 100% on target. So this year I'm probably not going to do that again, because if people know, then it becomes Avelus Befer Hesu.
They didn't know before, they're going to know now.
Keep you guessing. Okay, in any case, you never know who knows what. It's a
weekday talis?
What? A weekday talis? If it's not noticeable, yeah, probably. If it's not noticeable, the chora, then there's no inyan bedafka to wear Shabbos clothing. Okay, in fact, I think that, if I remember correctly, last year I talked about my weekday Shabbos. You really can't tell the difference between the two. Okay, I know the difference with this. Nobody else can possibly know the difference.
Because Shabbos talis has an atara.
No, if Shabbos talis has an atara, and everybody knows you wear an atara in this way or not, then you shouldn't do that. We're no way bedafka, because it shouldn't be available for Hesher to wear Shabbos clothing, then you should wear Shabbos clothing.
Rabbi, how come the Kavod Shabbos, how come it's not, you know, just because a person should get dressed, wearing, do everything with Kavod Shabbos like he always does, even though, let's say, it's... Even though it's the time of Tisha B'av.
Yeah, because here there's an inyan of not being misab. About here there's an inyan of avelus. So
Shabbos putting on, is overruled.
Yeah, but Shabbos doesn't take precedence over avelus in everything. Only avelus before hesia. Only public mourning, and some people hold that since the halachas of mourning aren't what kind of clothing you wear, so it's not called public mourning if you wear clothing that's covered for Shabbos but not Shabbostic. That's the sheet of not putting on Shabbos clothing. The only Gaon holds no. L'maisa, that's called Avelus before Heshep. Everybody knows you're doing it because of Avelus. Okay, Erev Tisha B'Av. Person should not take Tiulim, Erev Tisha B'Av after Chatzos, nor learn Torah except what you're allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av. Our minig is to have a Suda Mafsekes. We have a big meal before Mincha, but you should leave over an appetite that you still want to eat after Mincha, just to have what's it called an egg dipped in ashes with bread and water. And that's the real Suda Mafsekes. Well, you eat before Mincha, since it's not the last meal. Even though it's after Chatzos, it's not called Suda Mafsekes, and therefore you're allowed to eat whatever you want at that meal. It would be better if at that meal, if that's the major meal you're eating, which is, it is, and you're only eating a token meal after, that you don't eat two tafshil. So you make sure that you only eat one cooked thing at that meal. But lahalacha, you can eat even more than one cooked thing. But it's a hider, right? The chumrah, not to eat more than one cooked thing, even at that first meal, which is not really Suda Matzekes, because the truth is that that really is a Suda Matzekes, and what we eat later is just a token meal.
And if you're having milk,
so what?
What's the meaning of tafshil if it's only...
No, two tafshil means fish cooked and noodles cooked.
So really, so that would count as a separate tafshil.
Right, unless they're cooked together, yeah.
Okay. Two things are cooked together, it's counted as one?
It depends. Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes you cook an egg on something, and that's considered one thing, and sometimes you know, two. Things that are cooked together sometimes are considered one dish, and sometimes two dishes cooked together. Okay. Okay, so then you eat. If you want to just do, eat whatever you want to eat before mincha, then daven mincha, and then before the fast, eat again, and again you should leave room that this is really a meal that you're eating because you want to eat because you're hungry, some hunger, right? Not that everybody's ever hungry to eat bread and ashes and hard-boiled eggs, but at least you're still hungry that you're not forcing yourself to eat it. You sit on the ground for that second meal. You don't have to take off your shoes. You don't sit directly on the ground at all. Sit on a towel or something separating from the ground. And you, what's it called? Say zehu sudas tishabav. You should eat it in a not mekuvedik place in the house, between near the oven, between the sink and the oven, something like that. And you shouldn't eat three people together who have to bench mezumen. And even if you do, you don't bench mezumen. Everybody benches to themselves. At that last meal, again, you should only drink water. Not soda or beer or anything else like that. Tea or coffee, some people hold it just like water that you could drink, together with a high boiled egg and a piece of bread. Okay. After that, you bench, and the tainus starts at Ben HaShemoshos, right after Shkia. And the halachas of Tisha B'Av, I think, we'll either mention before Tisha B'Av or whatever, or maybe Shabbos or whatever. So that's any questions up until Erev Tisha B'Av? Yeah.
If I'm gonna, I don't want to leave it room to eat there, but if I'm not gonna eat it, if I don't force myself to eat it, because I don't like it.
You don't like it. You don't have to eat a hard-boiled egg. Eat a piece of bread dipped in ashes. Eat that. And what could you eat besides the egg? If you can take a little bit of a sliver of an egg, you don't have to eat a kazayas or a kibetza. Just have to eat a little bit. So just as a token of the minig, take a little piece of egg and eat it. Share it with everybody else in your family. Yeah.
Two things. One, during the 9 days, is there anything about kids not doing art projects or anything like that?
No, they can do. They can even go on tiulim, as long as not going to amusement parks or things like that. Right? It says you can't be metayel erev Tisha B'Av after Chatzos. That means that up until then you could be metayel. It wouldn't be halacha if you couldn't do it the whole 9 days.
What's like dangerous during the 9 days?
Dangerous? I don't know. Whatever's things that are not necessary, no. If you have a medical procedure that if you don't get it during the 9 days, you're going to have to wait another 2 months, and the doctor said that it's better to get it earlier, do it then. If you have to travel for a mitzvah, go to Chutz Loritz, and you want to go visit family, it's a mitzvah. You're allowed to go. If it wouldn't be a mitzvah, you couldn't go altogether. So all those things are mutter. There's no issur in traveling during the 9 days. Yeah.
Just one thing about after Tisha B'Av. Motzei
Tisha B'Av, all the halachas of the 9 days apply till Chatzos the next day. Okay? This year there's no, it's a regular Wednesday. Not Erev Shabbos, it's not Sunday, it's no special things. So till Chatzos, everything that applies during the 9 days applies till the next day, Chatzos. no music, no eating meat and drinking wine, washing clothing, taking a haircut, and so on. Okay. Okay. Huh? Yeah. What?
Fingernails.
Up until Shavuot Shechal Bo Tisha B'Av, you can cut your fingernails with Kavod Shabbos. After that, you shouldn't cut your fingernails. Even though there's some people that could do that too, if there's a reason why the dafki you want to cut them after Shabbos, but if you want to cut them for Erev Shabbos, for Kavod Shabbos, okay.